Hello, and welcome to episode 8 of Rather Good Chat. Today we will be talking about gas, and I'm Joel.
And I'm Dave.
Hello, David.
Hello, how are you doing today?
I'm wonderful, thank you. Well, I was about to ask you, but I'll go first, shall I? Because you managed to finish the question first. I'm extravagantly large today, kind of nearly spherical. Yeah.
Large and spherical.
Yeah, you know, just getting bigger and bigger, slowly bigger and bigger, and, you know, rounder and rounder. Yeah.
Is that due to excessive calorie intake?
No,
it's like swelling.
Swelling. Well, I mean, it is swelling, obviously, but specifically, it's because I'm an enthusiast of gas.
Hey!
Which is what we're discussing today. And so I just thought I'd inflate myself a little bit.
Brilliant. I've
got one of those high pressure tire hose things from the garage and shoved it in one of the orifices.
I'm not going to ask which one.
No, don't. Best not to know. Mm. And I'm just gradually expanding.
You know? Excellent.
Yeah. How about you? How are you today?
I'm tremulous.
Oh, how is that manifesting?
I trem.
Mm.
I'm tremming quite a lot right now.
Is that tremendous?
It is tremendous, yeah.
Right. Oh, good. Well, I'm glad for you. Yeah. So we should discuss gas.
We should discuss gas. Now, before we start, I want to say, at the end of the last episode, I said I know nothing about gas.
Yeah.
And you listed lots of gases, and I said I'd Google them all, jokingly, as though that was the smallest amount of research I could possibly do.
Yeah,
I have to confess, I've done none of that, and I'm just as ignorant as I was last time.
Okay.
So you're going to have to carry this, because I don't even know what a gases is.
You don't even know what a gases is?
No.
Okay. Well, let's start with, I mean, you are, along with many, many people, under a false impression as to what gases are, thanks to the Rolling Stones and their epochal hit, Jumping Jack Flash,
right?
Where they imply that the man Jumping Jack Flash is not just a gas or even a gas, but a gas.
Which is like gas.
There's errors just piling up upon errors here, because first of all, Jumping Jack Flash, I'm assuming, unless I've misinterpreted the song, and it's very rare that I misinterpret something, I'm assuming he's a human, right? A human man who has a propensity to jump. Is that correct?
I believe that's correct. Yeah. I mean, I can't read it any other way, can I?
Yeah. And so human men, although there is some gas in them, in the lungs, and some, you know, methane in the bowels, you think of them as a solid because they're made of meats and bones, although there's quite a lot of liquid in them too.
I think
they're definitely not a gas.
I thought it was mostly liquid.
Yeah, it's mainly liquid, right? Yeah, mainly saliva, bile, and a little bit of blood, right?
And some petrol.
And some petrol, yeah.
Yeah.
And, definitely not a gas. Now, the second part, obviously, is I don't even know what a gas is. I am aware of LPG, which is liquid petroleum gas, so that's a liquid gas, which I understand.
Well, I was going to say, actually, that Americans call petrol gas, don't they?
Which is another liquid gas, right?
Mm.
And that's crazy. This is part of the problem, because that gas is a liquid just normally. I mean, liquid petroleum gas is only a liquid because it's been squeezed really hard. And that's a good tip. If you want to make a liquid, you can take a gas and squeeze it hard.
Right.
Like if you want to drink and there's no water around, just grab a handful of air, squeeze it as hard as you can, and you'll find that you've got water in your hands.
Okay. That's really handy.
Yeah, is it literally handy?
It is literally handy, yeah. So if you're in a desert survival scenario, instead of like looking for cactuses or digging down to find the water table or any of those kind of things, you should just...
Common misconceptions.
Grab a handful of air and squeeze it.
Yeah, because air is, and most people don't know this, a gas.
My goodness.
Yeah.
Wow.
And squeezing any gas will turn it into a liquid. So there you go, facts.
Oh, well, that's really good to know. Squeezing any gas will turn it into a liquid. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Wow.
Although, like I say, I'm going to wrap this up with the Rolling Stones were saying, I think gas is just a truism. Like, if a gas is a gas, it's a gas. And a gas is even more just unnecessary reconfirmation of the fact that the gassy gas is a gas, right?
In the way you'd say, like, well, it's a gas, but it's not a gas, you know?
Would that be liquid petroleum gas? You'd say it's a gas, but it's not a gas, it's a liquid gas.
Yeah.
You'd say it's a gas. It is a gas. In fact, it's a gas.
Well, if you can say it's a gas, but it's not a gas, then surely you can also extend that to say, well, it's a gas, but it's not a gas.
Or you can say it is a gas, which is what that is.
Yes, yeah.
So you'd be replying to someone who's expressed doubt.
Yeah.
So somebody on observing Jack Flash jumping has said, oh, that human man does appear to be a gas, but he's not a gas, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You've gone, no, he is actually a gas.
Yeah. I think that's probably right. Yeah, the Rolling Stones were quite big on being very specific about the states of matter.
But the thing is, it's untrue, right? It's untrue. He's not a gas. And the first man who was expressing doubts is correct. So is it a song about the man who's incorrect asserting that he is a gas? Or is the song celebrating the man expressing the doubts?
How do you know Jack Flash, while he's jumping, is not a gas? How do you know?
Well, he's surrounded by gas while he's jumping.
But you don't even know who he is. He could be a gaseous man.
Is there such a thing as a gaseous man?
Or a gaseous man?
Well, there was that boxer, wasn't there? Gaseous Clay.
Very good.
Pleased with that one.
Yeah. Excellent.
He came to a sticky end when he fought Rocky, didn't he? He was a mineral.
Wasn't there a Roman emperor called Solidus?
Oh, that's good, isn't it? Yeah, that sounds.
Maybe that's not true. I may have made that up, but I'm sure Solidus is some kind of Latin name.
I'm not sure, but I'm just going to go along with it because I don't want to admit that there are any gaps in my knowledge of ancient Rome.
Sure, yes. And of course, we are forbidden from Googling.
Yes, exactly. Yes. So I'm going to go with that. Solidus was definitely not gaseous. Although gaseous does sound like a plausible name for a Roman emperor.
Gaseous, it does, doesn't it? Yeah. I mean, like, instead of like, The gaseous is a honorific, right?
Well, maybe that would be him, gaseous the gaseous.
Just to make it really clear.
Yeah, he's a double gas, right?
Oh, right, yeah. He's a gas.
He's a gas, gaseous the gaseous.
Mm.
Yeah. Whereas gaseous clay was a single gas.
Yes, and a solid.
Was he a solid? Oh, but clay, right, yeah.
An amorphous solid, yeah.
Gaseous clay. So, hang on, wasn't he evaporated clay?
I suppose he was, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. If they'd just stuck with the clay, he would have had a better chance of beating Rocky, right? That's the theory.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Instead of evaporating it into
Well, it's very hard to knock out a gaseous cloud, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, you can knock out things out of clay, can't you? You can knock out a bowl quite quickly.
Yeah.
Like a sculpture of Lionel Richie.
By knock out a bowl, do you mean render unconscious or do you mean create? Just going to quickly knock out a bowl. That's what a potter would say, right?
Before punching a bowl really hard and smashing it into a million pieces.
And laughing.
Yeah. And then exploding his clay so much that it doesn't even fragment, it kind of gasifies, evaporates into
clay. You'd have to punch it really hard, wouldn't you?
Yeah, that's why you end up being a heavyweight boxer, because you can punch a bowl into gas.
Mm.
Punch anything, and it just explodes into gas.
That's the entrance exam to becoming a heavyweight boxer, isn't it?
Well, that's how gaseous clay got his name, right?
Because
anything he punched
immediately was reduced to a fine mist.
Would just turn into a gas immediately. Yeah, just a gas, yeah.
Brutal.
It's a useful skill. Yeah, it is brutal. But it's fun, though, isn't it? You know, it appeals to our basest nature.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, we all deep down want to see people reduced to a fine red mist.
I went to a Thai kickboxing thing in Thailand once. Did I ever tell you about that?
I don't think you did, no.
I'm not sure how we got onto this, but it started out, they had like the, through the evening, the bouts were like the kind of smallest people working up to the biggest, most senior people. at the beginning, they were essentially not much more than kids kind of kicking each other. And I was thinking, oh, God, I think I've made a mistake coming here. This is a bit much. Because it's really violent. Mm. And there was lots of people, obviously, in Thai culture, it's much more of a central part of their culture. There were lots of people betting by the ringside and loads of cheering. And I was like, oh, I think this is a bit much for me, if I'm honest. And as the night went on, I got more and more sucked into the kind of ecstasy of the violence. And by the end, I was kind of screaming along with everyone else, going like, kill him! Kill him!
this is still children, right, yeah. At this point?
Yeah, no, they were big, you know, they were grown men, well, very accomplished martial artists.
Both grown men, or was it a very large grown man versus a toddler?
I'm not going to discuss this any further. I fear I may have said too much. but yeah, no, it's amazing how, you know, how like just beneath the surface, we're all kind of still very brutal, I think. Stuff like that kind of gives you a window into your darker nature.
Well, we were talking the other day, weren't we, about public executions and punishments and tortures and how they used to be like spectator events. And that seems,
yeah, in the good old days.
That seems insane to us now that you go and watch someone be killed for fun.
Oh, I mean, yes, obviously. I don't mean the good old days. I mean, that seems insane. Yeah. Clearly.
So you're saying mankind is basically horrible?
Well, no. I mean, I think it's actually quite uplifting, isn't it, that we kind of function so much above that level that for most of us it never even crosses our mind that that's what we are. If you scratch the surface, the kind of veneer of civilization is really convincing, isn't it?
Mm.
You know, like I think generally we're not all just pretending we don't want to murder each other. We actually are genuinely quite gentle as a rule now, aren't we? Most of us, not all of us.
I'd like to think so.
Yeah, I'd like to think so.
Mm-mm.
You know,
I hardly want to murder anyone.
How many people do you? I mean, most of the murdering, it's not because you want to. It's just like, it's a need, really, isn't it, rather than a want.
Yeah, like it's like breathing or eating, you know. Don't want to do either of those things. In fact, I'd rather not, but I have to.
Yeah,
it's a fundamental need deep within the core of my being.
Yeah, what kind of core have you got? Is it like an apple?
It's not apple core. I think it's good. It's sort of a military sense of the word.
Oh, right. You don't have a core, like, as in there's seeds in there.
It's the Marine Corps.
A tough bit with seeds.
No.
Oh, but you are a Sea Dave, aren't you? So
Seed Ave.
It's not surprising. Seed Ave, yeah. Yeah. I suppose you would have the sea in there. Anyway, gas.
Yes. What is your favourite gas?
Oh, I was about to say nitrogen, just reflexively off the cuff. Because where would we be without nitrogen, right? Everyone thinks of nitrogen as the most boring gas, right? It's inert and it's everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, some people probably don't realise this, but most of the air is nitrogen, right?
Mm, indeed.
We all think, like, glamorous oxygen seems to get all the love and carbon dioxide gets all the hate. But these things are very, very small in terms of their general, you know, the amount of them that there is. It's mainly nitrogen.
Well, I mean, people find it boring because it's like the bread in a sandwich, right? Nitrogen.
Yeah.
By volume, it's mostly bread, a sandwich, right?
Yeah.
With some tasty stuff in the middle. Some tasty oxygen and carbon dioxide. Spicy carbon dioxide.
Mm.
But, you know, a sandwich wouldn't be a good sandwich unless you had some nice bread.
Well, I think without the nitrogen, people would miss it quite quickly if it was gone.
Right? Yeah. We'd all be sitting around thinking, do you remember nitrogen? Oh, I miss nitrogen.
Well, there'd be very low pressure for a start, wouldn't there?
Okay. You're saying just remove the nitrogen, not
just remove the nitrogen.
Not replace it with anything. Like more oxygen or more carbon dioxide.
Yeah, I mean, both of those options are really bad, right? If you just removed all the nitrogen, we'd have very, very little atmosphere left.
Hmm.
And I guess we'd all die, right? And if you replaced it with more oxygen, God knows what would happen. Everything would just explode in a ball of raging flame immediately.
But
if you
increase the oxygen and the carbon dioxide in the same quantities, they'd assumedly cancel each other out, right? We'd be fine.
Well, maybe you need to increase, rather than with carbon dioxide, just increase it with fire extinguisher foam. You think? An atmosphere made exclusively of oxygen and fire extinguisher foam.
Yeah, that would do it, wouldn't it? Yeah. So all the constant explosions everywhere would just be dealt with instantly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think that's okay.
Yeah.
What's your favourite gas? I mean, I'm still not sure that nitrogen really is my favourite gas. I haven't thought about it. But what's your reflex? What would you say?
My favourite gas is probably methane.
Oh, euthane.
We all thane.
Hooray! We all thane together. That's that song that Paul McCartney did about the various thanes, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, not the various anes, I mean. Propane, methane.
Oh, I was thinking thane is in the historical Scottish rank.
The thanes. Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I only know that because
of... Methane being the least popular of them.
Yes, absolutely, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Us thane.
Tell me about methane, Dave. What is it about methane that makes you love it so much?
Well, okay, it smells really bad.
Yeah.
And it's really useful. And both those things are great.
Okay. Tell me more about that.
I don't really know much more about that. So methane, right? It's used as a fuel, isn't it?
Yeah, I believe so.
It's produced by, I think, most living things, right?
Yeah. Cows famously make a lot of it.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of cows on the planet because we quite like eating cows.
Yeah, it'll all be dolphins when we're in charge.
Of course it will, yeah.
You're getting rid of the cows, replacing them with dolphins.
Mm. Yeah, methane, it's everywhere, and it can be used to make fuel and good things, right? So
that's good.
It's a positive thing, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, so, yeah, hydrogen's good, right? Because hydrogen is the most fundamental thing there is.
Mm. Yes.
The original stuff. The hydrogen atom, that's all the things there were, isn't it, at the start? And then some of those hydrogens got
together,
squished together into heliums.
And then it was just hydrogens.
Yeah, a special fusion cuddle, and the heliums were born. But most of the universe was just hydrogen and heliums, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Everything else is made of hydrogens and some heliums squished together. The first generation of stars would have been made basically of hydrogen, right?
Yeah.
And then all the other stuff is from the supernovae, from those gigantic, short-lived original stars.
We're all made of star stuff. I'm sure I'm misquoting Carl Sagan there, I'm sure.
Yeah, he probably would have said it in a Scouse accent and put in it on the end.
Yeah, he would have, definitely.
He would have started with, "You're right, la," and then said that, and then in it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Would have sworn as well. He's constantly throwing insults.
Oh, he was a foul-mouthed man.
Shoving kebabs in his face and shrieking abuse at people in his shell suit. But he was very clever. And so people forgave him all of...
he wasn't clever.
All of that awful antisocial behaviour.
He wasn't clever.
Wasn't he?
No, everything he said, he just got off Wikipedia.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, that's so disappointing.
I know.
I thought he was a clever guy.
Never trust in your heroes.
No. Okay. He was just a shouty man from Liverpool.
Yeah.
Well, good for him, I suppose, you know, for making it.
So gas is one of the states of matter, right? And the three main ones we know are liquid, solid, and gas.
Yeah.
Or solid, liquid, gas, I guess would be a better order.
Right.
But there are others, aren't there?
There is.
So plasma, what is plasma, Joel? You might know this more than I do. I don't really understand what plasma is.
I get a bit confused about plasma. You have to free the bits from the other bits, don't you?
Is that what it is?
It's highly energised.
You've got to prise them apart.
Yeah. You get a gas, right? And there's some bits in gas. And there's ions. Are there iron ions? I suppose there must be ions in ions.
Yes.
If you've got an iron made of iron, I suppose you've got ions in the ions. Actually, Bob Marley wrote a song about that.
He did, yes, yeah.
Going to have ions like the iron in my iron. I mean, he knew his stuff, Bob Marley. You know, for all the rampaging around Liverpool in a shell suit, screaming abuse at people and eating kebabs, he was a very clever man.
So, all right, so plasma, you You get a gas.
You get the you get a gas. Whether it's a gassy gas or just a gas, doesn't really matter. Either way, it's going to have ions in it, right?
Yes.
And you take those ions and you strip them out. And I presume you can do that with a magnet. Seems like the most obvious way.
Or some really, really delicate tweezers.
Yeah, either tweezers or a magnet. You want to make sure that the tweezers are made of iron if you're going to be grabbing the ions out.
Yeah.
Because like attracts like, as you know. That's why cheese always sticks to more cheese. And you know how you put like a mini Baby Bell in your fridge and you come down in the morning and it's absolutely rammed with wheels of every cheese you could imagine. You know that? That's because of the like attracts like thing.
Right, I see. Is that, oh.
Yeah.
I find if I put a Baby Bell in the fridge when I come down in the morning, it's normally mysteriously gone.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, it's probably come over to my fridge then to hang out with.
Oh, probably that's it. It's gone to...
with all the other cheeses.
Glue itself to a Wensleydale in your fridge.
Yeah, that, you know when you see, you know, you come and walk out of the door and you see like a parade of Stilton wheels rolling happily down the street, you know, inexplicably going uphill.
Right. Is that what the cheese rolling's all about? Are they just trying to get the cheese
back?
They're
trying to stop the cheese. Yeah. They're trying to prevent the cheese from escaping. But it all ends up at my house.
Really?
I have to eat a lot of cheese to prevent myself.
Why yours?
Tuned.
Do you have like the, is it like a gravitational thing? Do you have the largest amount of cheese?
Well, I mean, now, obviously, it's a self-sustaining reaction.
Right.
Originally, I think it was just a really good mini Baby Bell. Like a really good one, you know. They're normally much the same, aren't they? But this one was great.
So the mini Baby Bell implies the existence of a Baby Bell. Does a Baby Bell exist?
It does. I found one in France. And it is exactly as you'd expect, a giant mini Baby Bell.
Right. And so the existence of the Baby Bell surely implies the existence of an adult bell.
It does imply that. And I've never seen one in the wild, but I assume they're quite... I mean, I suspect that they've been harpooned to the point where they're extremely hard to find now, right?
Right.
You know, much like large anythings, much like the whales. But I suspect they're out there somewhere.
In the depths
lurking.
Or hiding behind mountains.
Yeah, yeah. In caves or in my fridge. But I'm not going to give you access to the fridge, so...
Oh.
I'm afraid you're going to have to make your guesses and stick with that. No information's going to be forthcoming.
Mm.
But yeah, anyway, so that's what happens. And then you get your cheese tweezers, tweezers as we like to call them, and you pluck the ions out of the gas. Which gas is this? Clay. It's
clay.
Gaseous clay,
of course,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You get your gaseous clay and you pick the ions out. And once you've got rid of them all, it becomes a plasma.
Right.
And you've got a very useful little pile of very, very tiny ions, which are their perfect size for the gnomes to get their clothes sorted out with.
Right, right.
Yeah, yeah. And that's where the ions go. You sell them onto the gnomes.
Right. So I'm confused now between... what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Ions.
Plasma.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So all this time, I've been assuming you were saying ion, but you weren't. You were saying iron.
Yeah, I was talking about ions. What else would I be talking about?
No, okay, no, it's my fault. Yeah, yeah.
Didn't you have your eye on the ball there?
No. I was ignoring the pun there.
Right.
I didn't want to dignify it with any kind of acknowledgement.
Didn't want to encourage me. No. Yeah, no, yeah. I don't blame you. It was awful, wasn't it? you know, but I'm still pleased with it.
Yeah.
You know, every pun is loved. You know, like an ugly baby, isn't it? You know. I, as its mother, still love it.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you have three kids, so be careful what you're saying here.
None of them are puns, though. They're human children.
Right, yes, of course. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so that's okay. Yeah. Apart from the dog and the cat, they're not human. They think they are, but they're not. Well, no, actually, they're not. The dog thinks he's human. The cat thinks he's a dog.
I mean, you call them your sons, but you didn't actually create them, did you?
My hairy children.
I suppose adopted sons aren't that. Yeah. That's fine, isn't it?
Bliss did actually tell Barney he was adopted.
Oh, really? How did he take it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, he put a brave face on it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Didn't really seem to react at all, if I'm honest.
Probably bottling it all up, isn't he? So, look, it's a big thing to learn, isn't it?
It's big news, yeah. Maybe he had his suspicions.
Yeah. He looked around and saw everyone was quite a lot larger and less hairy than him.
Yeah, and, you know, his arms function very much as legs.
Mm. Yes.
Yeah.
To the extent of having feet on them.
Yeah. That's a good tip, isn't it, for anyone out there who's wondering if they're actually an adopted pet dog.
Yeah.
Like, have a look at your arms, and if they've got feet on the end, there's a very good chance that you're an adopted dog and actually not the... your parents will still love you just as much.
Oh, absolutely, so yes.
It's fine. Yeah. It's not a bad thing. You know, being a dog is fine. It's okay. You know, in fact, it's very noble.
Yeah, it's better in a lot of ways,
It is better, and you should embrace it. Yeah.
With your legs.
With your legs, yeah. It's all right, you can just kind of flop on it and give it a lick and it'll be fine.
Oh, good. Yeah, that's nice. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going like this. Which is what you do when you're enjoying yourself. That's another good tip, actually. If every time you're happy you make that kind of noise, then that's another clue.
Speaking of dogs.
Yeah.
And methane. My pet dog when I was a child produced an awful lot of gas.
Right, okay.
She was a very gaseous hound.
Is that a breed?
Yes, the gaseous hound, yeah.
Nobody wants the gaseous hound. Nobody even knows why anybody bothered to breed the gaseous hound. Seems like a completely foolhardy breeding exercise. But people will do as they do, won't they?
Yeah.
It's by far from the only strange decision where animal breeding is concerned.
Gaseous hound sounds like some kind of haunted local legend, doesn't it?
Does rather.
Beware the gaseous hound.
It's like a ghost hound that farts. Like,
yes, right, yeah. Yeah.
You don't hear its ghostly wail, you hear its...
In the dead of night, you can sometimes distantly hear from the woods a little...
A little part, and then an unpleasant...
If you ever hear...
unpleasant aroma.
If you ever hear the part, or even worse, smell the stench, then that spells doom. Like a banshee. A sort of farting dog banshee.
I suspect that along with all the other farting spectres folklore, I suspect that may well have its roots in people not wanting to admit that they'd farted.
Oh, I see.
If I'm honest.
Yeah, that seems likely, doesn't it? Yeah. Did you just fart? Nope. It was a ghost.
I'll be honest. I quite often say no, it was the dog, even when it clearly wasn't.
Yeah.
Even when the dog's not there.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, I suppose the obvious way forward from that, if you don't have a dog and you blame the dog, they go, but we don't have a dog, Father. But Father, we don't have a dog. And go, it is the ghost dog, the gaseous hound. And that's how that myth was born.
Sit, children, and I will tell you a bone-chilling story of the gaseous hound.
I should tell you a nose-mangling story. Sit on my lap. No, it's sticky on your lap, Father. Sit anyway, child. Oh, dear.
Do you mind if I open a window first?
No, child. No windows should be opened this evening.
lest the gaseous hound find entrance to our home.
Or lest his emissions find exit. So that's how that happened.
Right, yeah.
But, I mean, you know, obviously it's such a kind of tentpole of the English literary tradition now. You know, it's become our most well-loved story engine, hasn't it, the gaseous hound?
Yeah. Like Arthur Conan Doyle famously wrote the Gaseous Hound of the Baskervilles, which is about a very similar thing. Yeah.
It's like the father of a family who kept farting and blaming it on a ghost dog.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was how that went. And his famous detective, Sherlock Holmes, came to try and find it. I don't remember what happened after that. I know that Sherlock Holmes was involved, right?
Yeah, I think he turned up and immediately blacked out and then woke up 4 days later.
From the farting.
Back in Baker Street.
Yeah, said, oh, okay, well, we must have solved it then.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the last thing that happened in that story was there was a... Is that you, Watson? And Watson said, no.
No.
Bob, Bob, Bob.
But it was Watson.
Well, I mean, obviously it was, but, you know, everybody assumed that it was the gaseous hound following them for revenge. Yeah.
I've never read any Sherlock Holmes, have you?
No, except obviously for the gaseous hound of the basketball.
Oh, yeah, I've read that one, of course, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, who hasn't? It's required reading, right?
Absolutely. At school, we had to do Macbeth and the gaseous hound. That was it.
Yeah, the school library was just thousands and thousands of copies of The Gaseous Hound of the Baskervilles.
Yeah.
It was the only book that was allowed. All other books were banned. You know, no book, like the geography textbook was The Gaseous Hound of the Baskervilles.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, French exercise book, Gaseous Hound of the Baskervilles.
Yeah, and homework every day was to write out the entirety of the text of The Gaseous Hound of the Baskervilles.
From memory.
Yeah, in our exercise books.
And every lesson was just going around the room retelling the story word for word to prove that we knew every single word of the story.
Yeah, and if you got a word wrong, you were burned.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, that was for the second offence, though, right?
Right.
First offence would you be put in the fume cupboard in the chemistry department and everybody would fart into it.
Yeah.
While the cry went up, the hound, the gaseous hound. And the person who'd forgotten to be inside the fume car would go,
the hound! It's not the hound, it's clearly all of you. I can see you.
And then the teacher would rap on the window with their ruler and go, another 5 minutes for you, Perkins.
Even if your name wasn't Perkins. That's tradition.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. God, school, eh?
Yeah.
The happiest time of your life.
Absolutely, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, how many times were you sent to the fume cupboard?
About 200 or 300, I think.
Right. Oh, you got off lightly.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were kids at my school who basically spent their entire lives in the fume cupboard. I think some of them kind of ended up getting a kind of farty Stockholm syndrome.
Right.
Finding it quite difficult to cope outside of the fume cupboard.
Yeah, once your lungs have acclimatized to breathing nothing but farts, you know, it's hard to go back to air.
And those people, you know, they will never be nitrogen enthusiasts.
No.
They, you know, they've lost the joy of nitrogen. The simple pleasure of breathing an atmosphere composed mainly of nitrogen.
It's sad, really, isn't it?
It is. I mean, if you were to list your three favourite things, we're not talking specifically about gases here, just the three things that bring you most joy.
Right.
I mean, I don't know what yours would be, but I'd probably have the emotion of love as probably top.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yep.
You know, the love I feel for my loved ones. Then immediately below that and not far behind would probably be the joy of existing within and breathing and therefore communing with and becoming one with, essentially, an atmosphere composed mainly of nitrogen.
Right.
Yeah, I'd say it's a close second on my list.
Well, that's interesting, because my three would be custard creams.
The third one is just the nitrogen one again, by the way.
Right, yes, of course.
Yeah, sorry, yeah. Your first one is custard creams.
Yeah, my second one would be when you...
Any particular thing about custard creams or just the existence of
custard? They exist. We live in a universe that contains custard creams. It's a source of constant...
Right, yeah, okay.
Constant joy to me. Secondly, it would be the feeling when you cut up cheese to go on a cracker or in a sandwich and you very carefully cut particular shapes so you can sort of perfectly tile the surface with an exactly perfectly sized and shaped layer of cheese.
I mean, that's a great feeling. I'm surprised that you are able to source enough cheese to do that, given how rapidly it's accumulating at my fridge.
I sneak into your enormous fridge every night and
really
scoop off a fistful of cheese. And
are you farting while you're in there?
Of course. Yes.
Right.
I mean, always.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that answers one mystery.
And I think number three would be, it's a toss-up between nitrogen and the knowledge that the sweet oblivion of death will one day come for us all.
Yeah, that's true. That's a great comfort, isn't it? Batman was one of the greatest superheroes that was themed around nitrogen, wasn't he? The dark nitrogen.
Ah, right. I wondered where that was going. Yes, gotcha. Yeah, gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's a long literary tradition, isn't there? You know, the green nitrogen and all of that stuff.
Yeah. Is there any more coloured notes?
Well, I don't know, but there's some great storytellers, aren't there? There's M. Nitrogen Shyamalan.
Right. Of course, there's the famous 80s TV show Nitrogen Rider.
Oh, Nitrogen Rider was great, wasn't he? Yeah, he was brilliant. He was in that special car that was sentient and was made entirely of nitrogen.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, yeah, and yeah, it was great.
Raced around solving exclusively nitrogen-based crimes.
It was brilliant, wasn't it? And the way that he solved them always involved nitrogen as well.
Yeah, yeah.
It was fantastic.
You wouldn't think it would stretch to 4,000 episodes, but it somehow did.
Yeah, it's amazing. I think that is a testament to the universality of the love of nitrogen, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, we see it in a lot of songs as well, don't we? Oh, what a nitrogen. Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
Nitrogen fever, nitrogen fever.
Saturday nitrogen.
Yeah. Saturday nitrogen and the air is getting hot. With warm nitrogen. I think that's how that was.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Because the air obviously is composed mainly of nitrogen in that song.
I'm glad that 80% of popular culture is focused on nitrogen and the love of nitrogen.
It's only right that it should be, right?
Yeah. You know,
without nitrogen to act as a muse and inspiration for humanity's great arts, then where would we be? We wouldn't have popular music. We wouldn't have the great operas. We wouldn't have the great works of literature.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of an opera with night in the title, but I can't.
Not very good at operas, unfortunately.
No.
I do know they're almost exclusively about nitrogen now.
I think so, yeah, yeah. I'm pretty sure. I mean, I saw one once and it was about nitrogen. So.
Which one did you see?
Don't. I can't think of a pun. Oh, well, I mean, classically, there's the 1001 Nitrogens.
Yes. I mean, that's a real classic, right? That's given rise to so many other works as well. It's like deeply embedded in country, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's interesting because each one of the nitrogens is subtly different. I don't know if they're like, is it the ions? Is that what's going on? They're putting different ions in the...
Yeah, they pluck out one ion from each of them until nitrogen number 1002 becomes plasma. That's the twist ending.
Ah, right, I see. So there's 1001 ions.
Yeah.
In a nitrogen.
In a nitrogen, yeah, yeah.
Right, I see. And then you get a plasma at the end of it. Mm. Yeah. Well, that makes sense now. Yeah, I'm glad the science of it is coherent because, you know, it always makes it so much better when it stands up scientifically, right?
It's a plasma TV when you start with a normal TV and you carefully pluck out all the ions. And then what you're left with is a plasma TV.
Yeah, you know when you buy a telly and you take the box home and you open it up and inside is just this kind of mist of particles that rapidly dissipate?
Yeah, yeah.
That's a plasma TV, right?
Oh, you buy the fancy ones that's already assembled. Oh, yeah, no, I had the one where you just get a normal telly and a tiny pair of tweezers.
Ah, and you make it yourself from a normal telly.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. That's why they're quite flat, isn't it? Because you start out with a, you know, a big square deep cathode ray tube and you pull out all of the irons, yeah, and you end up with this quite flat thing.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
That's actually true.
It is, yeah.
What's your favourite zombie movie? Mine is probably Nitrogen of the Living Dead.
Oh, that's good, isn't it? Well done. Yeah. What happens in that one? There's a bunch of people who decide that they don't like nitrogen and they forego it for a while and it makes them go all rotten. Is that right?
I think that's it. Yeah. It's either that or there's some zombies and they just emit nitrogen constantly from all their zombie holes.
But that would be good. Why would people be running away from nitrogen emitting zombies?
Well, no, quite. That's the essential satire, the like social commentary of the film, isn't it? That it's irrational. Right. It's an irrational fear that people have and beliefs that there's somehow wrong with nitrogen. It's not anything you can understand. And that's what I think. That's what.
It's about the madness of the human.
Yeah.
Experience.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I see. Surprising, you know, it's a very popular first name for boys as well, isn't it? Nitrogen. We'd shorten it to Roger, Nitrogen.
My favourite podcast is probably Seth Nitrogen.
Right. Yeah, yeah. The pirates going around plundering ships for their precious nitrogen cargoes used to fly the jolly Nitrogen as well, didn't they?
Yes, they did. So we've covered Gaswise. We've mentioned air, hydrogen.
Was Gaswise the clown in that nitrogen themed horror movie?
Yeah, he had those balloons, and when they popped, nitrogen came out of them.
Yeah, they were just nitrogen balloons.
Yeah, it wasn't very scary.
No, it was quite. You know, it's quite good, really.
Yeah.
What happens to a nitrogen balloon? Does it sink, or does it just bob at the same as the air, or does it?
Well,
I suppose it'd sink because of the weight of the
balloon. Right? Yeah, I mean, pure nitrogen's presumably very similarly dense as air, right? Because air is, basically almost entirely nitrogen. Density. Yeah, yeah. It would sink. Yeah, it would fall just because of the weight of the rubber and the balloon, the latex or whatever.
Yeah, the weight of the balloon.
What are balloons made of? Latex? I don't know.
It depends on the balloon. You know, I've got some that are made of lead.
Right. Yes.
Some that are made of stainless steel.
Okay.
Yeah, it was like, as an image, it just wasn't very affecting in any way, was it? The image was just a clown with some balloons kind of limply dangling on the string.
Yeah.
Full of nitrogen.
Yeah.
Gaswise. Hello, Gaswise! Oh, hello.
Hello. trying to see my balloons.
Not really. They're full of nitrogen. Oh, okay, then. I love nitrogen. Everybody does, lad. Everybody does. Great film. It was a lot like Kez, wasn't it?
Much like Kez, yeah.
Yeah. About a boy and his uplifting relationship with a balloon filled with nitrogen.
Oh, no, Kez.
You're blowing away at wind. Oh, it's all right. It'll stop when it gets to a wall.
Yeah, it was a real bleak slice of life kind of movie, that, wasn't it?
It was, but, you know, there was, at the core of it, was this beautiful relationship with nitrogen that I think we can all relate to.
Yeah. I mean, the scene where the balloon pops, though, is heartbreaking.
But it's okay, though, isn't it? Because it's essentially just air. Like, you know, he grabs a plastic bag off the street, doesn't he, and just kind of whips it through the air and ties it in a knot.
Oh, no, my balloon's popped. Sorry, lad. Oh, well.
Look, here's a plastic bag full of air. It's basically nitrogen. Oh, lovely.
Oh, thanks.
I'll call it Nigel Trudgeon. Come along, Nigel. Nigel Trudgeon, you're my best friend now. It was really uplifting, wasn't it?
It was, actually, yeah.
I think it was a story. That's why it's so popular. It's a story for everyone, because we all relate to that young boy whose only friend is a mucky old Tesco's bag full of nitrogen.
and a clown
called Gaswise.
A man dressed as a clown who hangs out just in the streets.
I mean, he's only a clown in that he's dressed as a clown. Like, his career as a clown never really happened.
No, yeah, he's never actually worked as a clown. He just, just the only clothes he owns.
He doesn't know any jokes or any routines that are in any way entertaining. He just talks a lot about nitrogen. And that, as we know, is the way into any child's affections.
Absolutely,
The kids just love it when you talk nitrogen. You know, that's the core of any familial bond is long evenings huddled up around the fire, burning methane and discussing nitrogen.
Yeah. We like to, as a family, on the weekends, just to crawl into the nitrogen chamber and just breathe pure nitrogen for a few hours.
Really?
It's lovely, yeah.
How does that... What happens then?
I don't really know. I never really remember it. Normally I wake up in hospital. So I assume really well, you know.
Right, okay. Oh, well, that's good. Yeah, good for you. I mean, you know, they're basically the same chambers they put in the schools, right? It's just that you're filling it with nitrogen instead of methane.
Yeah, I got mine discounted from when they shut down all their schools.
I mean, there's a lot of people who still live in them, aren't they? The ones who got so acclimatized to methane.
Like Perkins. They all come with a Perkins who can't ever leave.
Yeah. You have to kind of shove food through the airlock.
A frightened, quivering middle-aged man dressed in tight-fitting schoolboy uniform, huddled in the corner of the tank. Yeah.
Yeah. Constantly eating cabbage and, you know, beans.
Yeah.
Cabbage and beans. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good old Perkins.
Yeah. So, what more do we have to say about gases?
What's your feeling about compression of gases?
I'm all for it. I love it. Yeah. I love compressing gases. Yeah.
Right. I mean, it's a lot of people feel it's cruel, don't they?
Well, yes, but I mean, you've got to weigh up. It's like any ethical debate, isn't it? You've got to weigh up the compelling ethical arguments to be vegan how tasty animal products are.
Flesh is.
Likewise, you've got to weigh up the practicalities of, it is cruel to compress gases, but cars wouldn't work without that, would they?
How do cars work? I'm not sure I've really grasped this.
You get a load of nitrogens, you ram them into the boot, or the trunk, as Americans would say, and then you sort of just force the lid down really hard, and the gas compresses so much that the force of it makes the car go forwards.
Ah, yeah. That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks for explaining that. Yeah, I mean, it's fine, isn't it? I mean, there's two issues here, right? There's compression of gas because you actually need to compress it. I mean, it's not that different from the vegetarian arguments, right?
Mm.
Like, you know, in the same way as if you found yourself stranded after a plane crash and you saw a majestic antelope, I think even a vegetarian would just kind of swallow that antelope whole in that situation, right?
You'd unhook your jaw, wouldn't you? Just
kind of slither up behind it and very slowly, too slowly for it to notice so it didn't run away.
Mm.
Envelop it in your mouth parts and then just force it down through your digestive tract.
Yeah.
So it never really worked out what was happening.
Just are you enveloped
by the warmth?
Are we talking about people or anacondas?
Isn't that how do you swallow a whole antelope then? Because I'm not sure I could do it any other way.
I guess not, thinking about it. No.
I mean, I eat a lot of antelope. And
I have a very large blender.
Okay. But what I was going to say was, it's a similar thing, isn't it? Because like, if in that same situation, your only access, pardon me, your only access to drinking water is to grab a handful of the air and squeeze it down to a liquid.
Yeah.
Like compression in that situation is fine, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I don't think anyone would object to that.
Well, it's kill or be killed in that situation, isn't it? It's me or the air.
Yeah, yeah. And the air has to come off second.
Yeah.
Unless you're, you know, some kind of extremist.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
What's your opinion of space?
It's troubling.
I asked that because there's no gas there.
Yes, it's troublingly free of gas, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I suppose you could describe it as an incredibly low density gas, because there are particles.
There are. There's hydrogens whizzing around in there, aren't there?
Yeah,
like there's not very many of them. No.
So it is really just an incredibly dispersed hydrogen gas, isn't it? Space.
Right. Well, I suppose it depends on how you look at it. We probably need a science man to give us a definite on whether space is in fact gas.
Yes.
Because
yeah.
I'm not sure I'm qualified to say. What I would say though is, it's quite nice to go somewhere where you can just, you know, have a break from all those derivatives of nitrogen you find around the place down here, right?
Yeah.
You know.
Try hard.
Yeah.
Elements.
I mean, it's not just gases, right? I mean, cobalt, Jesus.
Ugh. Oh, I can't stand cobalt.
Yeah.
It's the worst one.
Constantly trying to be like, it's like, oh, well, I'm better than nitrogen. Better than the gas. Look at me with my snazzy colours.
You know what I hate? Like, xenon. Xenon. Oh. Ugh.
Oh. Do you know, and I think we can really illustrate that because here on Earth, Morph is a lovable brown cartoon character, right?
Yeah.
Whereas the Xenon Morph is like a horrific mass murdering monster.
Right.
If you make him out of clay, gaseous or otherwise, he's lovely,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Make him out of Xenon, mass murdering beast.
You're right. Yeah, it's true. It's true. I remember the films. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Any other thoughts about gases or gas adjacent elements? Or compounds for that matter?
Compounds. Ooh, compounds. Do we think gas is a good thing in general or a bad thing?
Oh, is it time for the verdict?
Oh, it could be, yeah, unless you could think of anything else to say.
Well, I mean, I would say, look, there's one, like a lot of the time. So yeah, okay. So sometimes gas can be better in gas form, and sometimes solids can actually be pretty good, right?
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you prefer, what's your favourite state of water? Do you prefer steam or water or ice? Which is best?
Neither. I prefer the constituent gases, hydrogen and oxygen.
Right.
You know, they're just loads better. It's just an obvious, right? And if you want to have the water, you can just combine them with fire and they'll give you a really funky flame and then you've got water. But I was thinking more about stuff like, you know, let's take chlorine, for example.
Hmm.
Have it as a solid in sodium chloride and it's quite good. It's a salt, right?
Yeah, it's tasty.
Yeah, but as a gas, chlorine, I mean, obviously it's good for keeping your swimming pool clean. But you don't want to breathe it. It's used as a weapon of war, right?
Yeah.
And the same is true for mustard, right? As a solid, it's delicious on your pork, on your cold cuts, or on your beef.
Yeah,
but as a gas, again, a weapon of war.
Very bad, yeah.
In fact, if you think about it, basically, World War One was fought largely with gaseous condiments.
Not just World War One, like oranges. Oranges, delicious in their solid state. Delicious. Yeah. And also in their liquid state. Very lovely. But Agent Orange, famously, the gaseous form of orange, quite bad for you.
Yeah, it's amazing how much of this there is, isn't there?
Mm.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is gas bad?
Well, I mean, I think it's difficult to do thumbs up, thumbs down in a straight because there's obviously nuance here. Like mustard, better as a solid, right? Delicious.
Yeah.
And it's got that kind of spiciness to it, hasn't you? Which
is mustard a solid or a liquid?
It's a stodgy solid.
a stolid,
that's the scientific.
I'm sure, I think that's what that word means. Yeah,
solid, liquid, gas, plasma, solid
and forbidden.
Yes, and that spiciness is exactly what, you know, as a gas it kind of shreds your lungs and your skin and your eyes, but you know, as long as it's a solid, it's just lovely,
right? So mustard, good as a solid. Orange is good as a liquid or a solid.
Yeah, chlorine.
Chlorine, good as a solid.
But nitrogen, I mean, I've never I've never tried to breathe solid nitrogen. What happens if you shove a load of that in your lungs?
Well, liquid nitrogen's useful, isn't it? That's used for...
Liquid nitrogen for breathing.
Yeah, well, yes, you could try.
Yeah, okay.
Liquid nitrogen's used for rocket fuel, right?
I'm not sure it is. Isn't it used to keep things very cold?
Oh, is that what I'm thinking? Is that liquid nitrogen?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah. Yes, you are right. Yeah. What am I thinking of? I don't know.
You're thinking of liquid hydrogen, probably.
Probably. Yeah.
Like the big, they're very big rockets that are powered by liquid oxygen and liquid hydrogen, and you combine them to create lots of water.
To make liquid air.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so I think in general, with some caveats, specifically for mustard and salt, everything else...
Chlorine.
Gas. Yeah, salt is chlorine, right? Chlorine as a solid is just delicious table salt.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Heat it up too much and you've got weapon of war.
Yeah.
That's where all the chlorinated water for swimming pools comes from. Did you know that?
I didn't know that. The non-renewable resource.
Yeah.
Right, right.
Yeah, it's all of it is from the trenches, from World War One trenches.
Huh.
Got chlorinated in the gas attacks and they kept it.
They're
like, oh, this is nice for a swim. And that's where it all comes from.
They just squeeze the air around them.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think it's a thumbs up from me on gas.
Yeah, I think it's a tentative thumbs up for me as well, I think. I mean, there's some bad gases, but nitrogen is just too good, isn't it? It's just the best
one. It is. It's great. I mean, where are you on the methane, on the gaseous hound?
I've gone right off it. All this talk of gaseous hounds has spooked me, really spooked me.
Yeah, but not enough to you know, to turn that thumb down.
No, just
because
methane.
Nitrogen is so good.
Yeah, it's just so good, isn't it?
Yeah, okay. So thumbs up for gas, largely because of our admiration for nitrogen. And then, you know, a little sin bin within the gaseous realm for the gases that we would be better off without.
I think so, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, brilliant. Well, I'm glad we got that cleaned up. What do you think we should talk about next time?
Oh, I don't know. We could talk about the weather.
Yeah, let's talk about the weather.
Excellent. It's a classic British, topic of conversation, isn't it?
Yeah.
We talk about nothing else. Yeah.
It's either the weather or nitrogen, you know, or the gaseous hound of the Baskervilles.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Or traffic. We talk about traffic a lot.
It's true. Yeah, yeah.
But yeah.
But we're not going to talk about that next week. We're going to talk about the weather.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Can't wait.
Brilliant.
Oh, I can't wait.
Can't you?
I wonder what the weather will be next week. Will it be rainy, or will it be cold, or will it be windy?
I bet it's got loads of nitrogen in it, whatever it is.
Yeah, I bet. Ooh,
lovely nitrogens. Oh, I love them. Get my hands on some lovely nitrogens, shove them down my nose.
Squeeze them right up. Drink some lovely liquid nitrogen.
Brilliant. Yeah, I'm going to go and get me some nitrogens right now. See you later, Dave.
See you, dude. Bye.
Bye.